If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Corey's brother standing up for his sister, saying, I knew my sister, I knew Eric. She did not do this, saying he cried when he heard about Eric's death. And I'm sure very true. I'm sure he probably didn't really know exactly what the hell was going on over there. I guess let's play devil's advocate for a second here. And let's say she didn't do this. How do you think a sibling or a family member can square up some of the evidence, though? Everything from the Google searches that she did to the party at the house that she had right after he died. And now the letter that she's claiming is actually part of a manuscript for a book that she's writing that just so happens to sound a lot like witness tampering.
Man, that was the first thing last week that blew my mind.
Yeah.
It's the motion that came out where essentially what the state is alleging is that she had handwritten these letters and that her mother was coming for visits and that she would place the letter on the glass so that her mother could read it because everything's recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she was doing that. And essentially what she was asking her mother to do was to go to her brother to create an alibi. And the alibi was that her husband had gotten addicted to fentanyl and that he was scoring it from some Mexican workers that were working at the ranch. And that he was aware that he was procuring fentanyl from these guys,
mm-hmm.
and that he had gotten it himself and he just OD'd.
Yep.
So it's like, it's pretty damning.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the problem is that they have her doing it twice. The first time she did it, she destroyed the letter before they could get their hands on it. The second time they don't have her doing it where she shows her mother on video during a visit, but they found the actual letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you've got to tell, like, so there's a little bit of wiggle room for her there.
Yeah.
It's not a good look at all, you know, because the assumption is automatically going to be that the first letter was similar.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, why is she having to repeat it? If I'm the defense, I'm saying, well, no, it didn't say anything like that. You know, but then the state's counter is going to be, okay, well, why weren't you just saying, if you weren't saying anything that would be considered tampering with a witness, then why aren't you just talking over the phone?
Yeah.
Why are you putting a letter up against the glass? You know what I'm saying? So that thing is very damning in terms of how it impacts every other thing that you think about what was going on. You know what I'm saying? It's highly relevant. And there's certainly going to be arguments that, well, okay, you can say whatever you want to say, but the bottom line here is that you put the thing up against the window and you didn't speak whatever was on that letter when you easily could have just picked up the phone and spoken it. So we have to assume that it was something that you didn't want us to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to assume, because we found this letter and you said what you said in it, that you were saying the exact same thing. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. She's in deep, deep, deep water, deep, deep, hot water.
It feels like she can't stop lying. And
she can't.
I'm starting to wonder if she's kind of Murdaugh-ish in that way of being a compulsive liar, because the whole case is very much based on a lot of her lies that end up came to catch her. But now it just keeps going. And she doesn't seem to have that compass to go, shut up. Like, look, you got caught with your letter. Just shut up. Saying,
right.
Now going back and saying it's a manuscript. And
clearly
for a
ignoring
book.
Her lawyer, because you know what her lawyer is telling her to do, Tony?
Shut up.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you're right. I mean, she just can't help herself. It's exactly like Murdaugh. It's like, you know, for a fact that Putin, Jim were up there telling him, man, you cannot testify in this. And he's like, trust me. Just this is what I do. Like, mm-hmm. I will have that jury believing me in no time flat, and they couldn't have stopped him because ultimately that's his decision whether or not he's going to testify. And it's the same deal with her. I mean, look, if the state's allegations are true, this woman poisoned her husband, killed him, and then wrote a book about grieving mm-hmm. for children. I mean, that's some pretty twisted stuff, yeah. man.
you know what I'm saying? And if we're to believe her new story, it's that she's also writing a book about being in a Mexican prison, scoring drugs with her dead husband, and also she needs some white strips.
Yeah, I mean, man, she just never stops. She just that's going to be a good trial. I fully anticipate, much like Murdoch, she's going to testify.
Yeah,
it's
going to be insanity.
It'll be a good one, Tone.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.